and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
The following program has been paid for by John Tassoni. It is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV, its management, or staff. This is Recovery Radio, the first radio show in Rhode Island to offer useful information for the purpose of helping men and women suffering from alcohol and other addictions. Recovery Radio's goal is to raise awareness in the state and is dedicated to improving the outcome of those with addictions. Recovery Radio with John Tassoni is sponsored by Phoenix House of New England. Call John now at 437-5000 or toll free at 1-888-345-0790. Now, here's John Tassoni.
Welcome to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, John Tassoni. Another beautiful day in Rhode Island. And I have an announcement before we get into the show. The Rhode Island Council on Problem Gambling will be hosting their third annual conference on Friday, March 9th, 2018, at the Providence Marriott. The keynote speaker is Janet Miller from Louisiana Association of Compulsive Gambling. She's a national recognized expert in the field of problem gambling. A continental breakfast and a lunch will be served. There are CLEs and CUEs available. The focus of the conference will be on legal issues and relates to problem gambling, as well as treatment and prevention. To register, please go online at www.ripcg.com or give them a call at 401-354-2877. In the studio today, I have a young lady who sits on the governor's overdose council with me, and we were having a conversation a few meetings ago, and I asked her to join me because she has a very, very interesting story to tell.
Thank you.
Jennifer Bryan. Welcome, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jennifer, I read your outline. I read your resume. You're going to school to be an attorney.
Yes.
So let's tell my listeners how you got from point A to point Z.
Oh, that's a long story. But the short version is when my grandfather died, I suffered from depression, and I turned that pain inward, and I turned to addiction to kind of numb myself from the pain. Starting with prescription medications into harder drugs, heroin's a little bit cheaper. That's usually the way that individuals go about that. And we struggled for a while. We kind of hit bottom. I was working for a prestigious law firm.
Who's we?
Me and my husband together, which is something that not a lot of people are able to do. Usually one person wants to get clean, the other doesn't. He turned to recovery when he was arrested for possession. His first charge ever. He got probation, and they sent him to Kodak, where he was offered the methadone maintenance. And at the same time, I joined in. I was actually arrested as well for attempting to obtain prescription medications under false pretenses at a pharmacy. And I was given drug court, which I was able to complete in 1 year without any failed drug screens. Kodak was immensely helpful in not only just getting clean, but in putting back my life to the way that it was prior to my drug use. They offered support with getting back into school and counseling services, help trying to figure out how to get my debts that I had accrued in order, which was very difficult. And from that, I just kind of hit the ground running. And I'm a very ambitious person in general. I feel like I've almost returned to the person that I used to be before I started using, which is great. And they saw my potential in that and have, from there on, offered me positions speaking on behalf of Kodak in small groups with Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Whitehouse. Mm-hmm. What was that? That was a I forget what they called it. It was like an open forum.
Town hall meeting.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something. It was actually at Kodak. But in addition to that, I spoke at the House of Representatives for the acupuncture, the articular in the ear, which helps with addiction and other stresses, which I believe is a excellent benefit. Also offered by Kodak. They offer so many services. It's hard to even think of them all right now. But and the task force.
So I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, of course.
When you started using, what age were you?
I was 24, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of late in life.
It is late in life to use.
But I understand. I understand the pain that you went through with your grandfather. You know, I just lost my dad last April. And they are people who you look up to, you depend on. And I say this all the time. They teach you how to be good human beings, but they never teach you how to live without them.
Yeah, it was his death was almost the straw that broke the camel's back. He was the person that held our family together, and he did a lot for everybody. And yeah, no, that's I've never heard it put that way, but it really strikes me. I think of him often, and
yeah, I know. I do, you know, think of my father often, and the signs. You know, I haven't dreamt of him yet, but there's signs at certain places that I'm saying to myself, God, he's actually like right behind me. He's watching what I do. My father was a big advocate for me to help people that can't help themselves. And when I first got elected, he said to me, that's what I want you to concentrate on. He wasn't big into politics at all. But he was a guy that on election day would get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and he'd be right at the polls early, handing out my literature. And then once I got in, he said to me, you need to start helping the people that are homeless, people who have substance abuse issues, people who can't help themselves. You need to be their voice. And it always stuck with me. Even to the day he passed on, at the side of the bed, he told me that you did a good job. And that always stuck with me, and it will continue to stick with me, because he was like my best friend. And he would tell me if I was going off the beaten path or you need to stay on this path. So I wholeheartedly know what you're thinking, know what you're going through, because it would have been easy for me to, I'm a diabetic, so I give myself needles, but I just can't think of myself shooting heroin. But it would have been easy for me to go to alcohol. But I didn't do that. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about that when we come back, because we got to take a break so I can pay the bills.
Okay.
You'll listen to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Sean Tassoni. We'll be right back.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold or flu, fever is flu's trademark. The Exergen Temporal Scanner is the number one thermometer pediatricians recommend. Protect your family with technology backed by over 70 clinical studies. Exergen.com.
One out of every 10 Rhode Islanders is struggling with addiction. So chances are you or someone you know is struggling too. The Providence Center has a message for you. Recovery is possible, and the Providence Center can help make it happen. All you need to do is call 276-4020. The Providence Center has helped thousands of men and women in our area overcome drug and alcohol addiction. Whether you're just starting to think about getting sober or if you've been down this road before, the Providence Center has a variety of treatment services that are tailored to your needs. The Providence Center believes that the path to a healthy life starts with a healthy mind. Make recovery possible. Call the Providence Center at 276-4020 today. That's 276-4020, or visit providencecenter.org for more information on the Providence Center services. Major insurances are accepted. the Providence Center. Healthy minds for healthy lives. ProvidenceCenter.org.
The journey to hope, health, and healing guides you to a successful recovery. A full-service outpatient center, the journey treats the whole patient, not just the addiction, offering high-quality medication-assisted treatment, behavioral health counseling, and lifestyle support services tailored to your needs. Experts are on site to help with any health insurance issues. Call The Journey at 941-4488. That's 941-4488. Get into recovery today.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite .com.
Why do we call it small business? Why not agile business? Nimble business? Dance circles around the big bulky behemoths business. Uma Office, the small business phone solution, has a virtual receptionist to direct calls to the right extension and a mobile app to help you answer while away from the office. About all that's small really is the price, starting at only $19.95 a month. Visit uma.com, that's O-O-M-A, or call 866-649-9377 to find out more. Uma, the phone your small business deserves.
People make your business work, but how do you find the right talent? ZipRecruiter. One click posts your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, smart matching technology instantly alerts quality candidates about your job. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
To try ZipRecruiter for free, just dial star zip. And when prompted, say talk. That's star zip. Keyword talk.
Phoenix Health of New England, a national nonprofit leader in the treatment of substance use disorders and co-occurring behavioral health issues. Phoenix Health provides comprehensive care in Rhode Island throughout New England, from medically monitored withdrawal services to residential and outpatient treatment for adults. For teens, we offer both comprehensive outpatient services. At Phoenix House, our highly skilled professional staff is committed to helping you achieve a better way of life through recovery. Major insurance plans and credit cards are accepted, and a sliding fee scale is available. So give us a call at 1-800-378-4435 or go online and visit us at phoenixhouse.org. If you or someone you love can begin a new life in recovery today, call Phoenix House. Accredited by the CARF, the Commission on Accreditation and Rehabilitation Facilities, is a national standard of excellence. Phoenix House of New England is a proud sponsor of Recovery Radio.
AM 790 WPRV. This is Recovery Radio with John Tassone.
Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, John Tassone. Jennifer Bryan is in the house. Jennifer, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to go back a little bit about the conversation that we ended before we went to commercial pertaining to substance use, the issue, the trigger. I'll use that word, the trigger of addiction.
Well, like I said, my grandfather was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But prior to that, I said that 24 was when I first started using. However, prior to that, it was not my first experience with addiction. A couple of my boyfriends, one I had for 7 years prior to, he was using on and off. I watched him go through withdrawal symptoms from heroin and various other things, you know, lying to me about it at first and then kind of finding out. Prior to that, my dad suffered with addiction and in between, my mom suffered a little bit with alcohol, so it's kind of something that surrounded my life, and I feel that I kept away from it for so long, and I was so strong, and I was just going to be different, and I broke down and finally just gave in to all of the pressure surrounding you. You know, it's kind of like that, what if I fell, who would catch me? Because I was taking care of everybody else.
Right.
And
that's an enormous amount of pressure. Now, how old were you when that started?
My dad was selling drugs when I was 5.
Oh, wow.
You know, he was arrested 3 times for selling marijuana. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't even know, you know, he would put pounds of weed in my lap and, like, I was like, that's a big pillow, you know, like, I didn't even realize the significance of it. But, you know, thinking back, it's like, wow, that's kind of messed up.
Well, you know, that's a interesting concept, we'll say that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of kids now are doing drugs with their parents, whether it's weed, heroin,
I continued my relationship with my father, and it's a very hard thing because he's on and off with his drug use, and at my worst, yeah, he's clean today, so it's a good day.
Yeah.
But when I was at my worst, he was at his worst, and like trying to balance the relationship between father and daughter, but we're also two addict friends, which is like, you know, you owe me money, you know, I fronted you yesterday, or, you know, like, it's a very hard balance because, you know, in one place he's looking at me as his daughter, in another he's looking at me like, you know, I owe you. You owe me money. You know, like, you're somebody that can get me off E, that can make me not sick. It's frustrating, to say the least.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, with you coming out with that just now, I got to give you a lot of credit. A lot of credit on stopping, getting the help, getting your life back together, going back to school, and now hopefully when you graduate and become a lawyer, you can help people who have issues with addiction.
I want to work for the prosecutor's office. I feel my experience has given me a finite ability to see and recognize a person in a bad situation, a good person in a bad situation, right, as opposed to a bad person that's trying to take advantage of looking like they're a good person in a bad situation.
Yeah.
Key's environment. You got to get out of the environment.
Yeah, exactly. And I say that all the time because when I was a business agent and I worked at the training school, I used to talk to the kids all the time. And they used to tell me that they used to go back to the same environment when they got released. And it's just a vicious cycle.
It's that. It's the friends. It's, you know, you can't be friends with people who maintain their addiction. You have to cut all of those people out of your life. And
how difficult was that?
It was very difficult. And I had people coming by, and around the first few months, you know, people were coming by, and they don't like to see you get clean. I don't know if it's just, you know, something in them that's, you know, it makes them feel bad because they can't do it. But I had people offering me things. Oh, you know you want some. Come on, you know you want some. I won't tell Bob that you did it. Bob's my husband. I won't tell Bob you did it. You know, it's fine, you know, like, no, it's not fine. Like, I'm not trying to do it. And then it got to a point where just seeing somebody that high made me actually, like sick. Like, I was like, it disgusted me. I was like, just go get high somewhere else.
Yeah. So, Bob. Let's talk about Bob.
I love Bob.
So, how long have you been married to Bob?
I have been married to Bob 5 years in May.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you met Bob during this...
during the period of addiction.
Yeah.
He was using for a lot longer than I had been using. I didn't really kind of know about it. Like I said, my ex had been using. I didn't think it was...
A big deal.
It's almost just normal at that point.
Yeah.
So... I had maintained my sobriety through my other relationships. I didn't think it was, you know, I'm one of those people who wants to fix everybody. So
yeah.
I was going to fix him.
Right. So
we fixed each other.
So let me ask you this question. What did you use?
At that time it was cocaine, you know, doing cocaine. I had undiagnosed ADD, which I was unaware of until I got into Kodak and they helped me with mental health. Mm-hmm. But it made me feel normal because the up makes you feel normal when you have ADD. And then it moved on to, you know, you got to have a come down. I mean, obviously. So Yes, and went into the opioids, heroin.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it to come off?
To stop doing cocaine was horrible. I mean, even after the methadone, there was a good 6 months where I was still using cocaine on and off.
Really?
Yeah, because the methadone doesn't really stop the cravings for that. It actually almost makes it worse because
But it
don't
stops
have to
the
have
cravings
a
to the opioids,
it
but,
does.
But not the
and the withdrawal symptoms, which okay. was great. But in the same, now we have money. Now we don't have to buy heroin every day. Now we can do cocaine, which is and then cocaine is so much more mental than it is physical. It's like you get $20 and then you're like, I've never done anything like cocaine. It's all it does is make you want more. That's the only thing that it does. The first hit or line or whatever, you feel high, and then after
how
that,
did you, how did
you're
you
trying
take
to
it?
Chase it.
Snort it?
No, I was smoking it.
Smoking it.
Base.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing. Nobody ever likes saying that.
No,
when it
but
says I smoked crack.
But listen, you're on
I
the.
Did coke.
You are someone who, when people come on this show like yourself, I say to the people that are listening, there is hope in recovery, because if there wasn't any hope in recovery, you wouldn't be sitting here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I believe the conversation that we had. It was the task force. Topic of the day was the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there needs to be more people that have succeeded getting out there and telling their story, because it will encourage people to know that it's possible, to know that they can get out there and do it mm-hmm. too. Because there's such a stigma surrounding addiction.
Would you say that 2 years prior to that?
2 years prior to...
Yeah, how long have you been clean?
I've been clean for 4 years.
4 years. All right. Would you say that 2 years ago, what you just said?
That there's such a stigma?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
How about 4 years ago?
We all know. Yeah, no, there's a stigma. It's, you know, even going into the clinics. Even currently, we faced an issue of my husband had a bad reaction to a medication. We were rushed into the emergency room, and he was treated just like every other patient until they found out that he was on 19 milligrams of methadone. And then he was not in recovery, but he was an addict. And, you know, every reason why he could have been in there became more about... Could he have taken something and you didn't know it, you know? No, we don't have that kind of relationship. Like, we've been clean for 4 years. Like, no, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't stop. I mean, it's unfortunate.
The world has to change.
The world has to change. You know, you're right. So he went into the emergency room. We
yes.
won't name the hospital.
No.
Went in the emergency room, was getting treated. How did they know?
Well, he had a seizure, and they asked what I came in, and
okay.
they asked what medications he was on. I told him that he was on methadone and the new medication, which is
right
actually,
then and there, they probably rolled their eyes, right?
Yep. They were like, you know, could he have taken anything? And I was like, no, like, I haven't, you know, we've been clean for such and such amount of time. And
but I can see them asking that question, because there's so many people that relapse is part of recovery.
It is.
And we'll talk
it
about
is.
More of that when we come back. You'll listen to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Sean Tassoni. We'll be right back.
Bridgemark is a treatment program that offers residential, outpatient, and intensive outpatient services. The residential program serves adult males suffering from chemical dependency. The outpatient and intensive outpatient programs serve people struggling with chemical dependency, codependency, gambling addiction, anger management, and domestic violence. They provide a respectful treatment environment to support healthy and lasting change. If any of these problems are impacting your life or those you care about, contact Bridgemark at 781-2700 for a confidential, comprehensive assessment.
Your family looks to you for all the answers. But who do you turn to when you need help? Far too many Rhode Islanders face this problem every day, whether it's keeping the heat on, finding safe, affordable daycare, or fighting to escape the cycle of addiction. Nobody should be forced to face these hardships alone. Dial 211 from any phone and you won't have to. United Way 211 is free, confidential, and local. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and can even be found online at 211ri.org. Remember, addiction is a disease, recovery is possible, and treatment is available. Call 211.
The Snow Country Ski Report is sponsored by Moriarty's Fence Company.
It's nice to have the sunshine back on the slopes. It's looking like a week of plenty of bluebird, sun-filled days. That'll feel great to be on the mountains. Now, it does look like close to home, Yagoo Valley has wrapped it up for the season, but there is still skiing and riding at Pat's Peak in New Hampshire, where everything is open. Crotchet Mountain, over 20 trails, and lots of fun events throughout the week. And over the weekend, they've got the Live Free and Ski Kids Obstacle Course race at Crotchet, which should be fun. At Mount Sunapee, up to 50 runs and over 50 for Cannon Mountain. At Bretton Woods, gorgeous views, over 40 trails and machine groomed to loose granular. At Attache, skiing 55 runs, wide open for King Pine, and at Killington in Vermont, over 70 trails, turning back on the snow guns every chance they get. Bolton Valley's got over 20 runs on tap. This brought to you by Smuggler's Notch Vermont, where family fun is guaranteed. Visit smugs.com.
Moriarty's Fence Company, keeping dogs safe since 1986.
Dominion Diagnostics is a proud sponsor of Recovery Radio and a leading national medical laboratory that provides drug testing solutions to improve patient care and treatment outcomes in addiction medicine. With its main laboratory located in Rhode Island, Dominion Diagnostics has remained the leading provider of drug testing services for the local treatment community for almost two decades. Across the country, addiction treatment providers rely on Dominion to deliver objective clinical information and unique clinical support, education, and consultation along every step of the continuum of care, from screening to assessment to treatment planning to recovery support solutions. Dominion Diagnostics is known in the community for its focus on improving treatment outcomes and enhancing the quality of life for patients and their families. Additional information, news, and resources are available at DominionDiagnostics.com and on Dominion's Twitter and Facebook feeds. That's DominionDiagnostics.com.
Welcome to Dial-A-Movie, your one-stop guide to what's playing. For the Hollywood blockbuster, Anything But Sunshine, press 1. For the romantic comedy, Anything But Sunshine, press 2. And for Anything But Sunshine...
You expect options everywhere else in life. Are you getting them when it comes to your medical treatment? Explore all your options and talk with your doctor about what's right for you. Knowing your options is the best option. Learn more at ahrq.gov. That's ahrq.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Trying to quit smoking? No luck? Cigarette smoking and tobacco use are the most preventable cause of illness and death in the country. Kodak has been providing effective, respectful, and compassionate treatment, recovery support, and prevention services since 1971. Kodak's trained and certified tobacco treatment specialists use the latest practices and information in a clinical setting that supports your efforts to be tobacco-free. Covered by health insurance, call Kodak today, 275-5037. That's 275-5037.
AM 790 WPRV. This is Recovery Radio with John Tassone.
Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, John Tassone. Jennifer Bryan is in the house. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we were talking earlier pertaining to stigma issues. And you had an issue with your husband at Rhode Island Hospital. You went into the hospital, the emergency room. He had a seizure. They asked you what kind of meds he was taking or not taking.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, as soon as you said methadone, the sirens went off in the emergency room.
Yeah, even at a very low dose. I was like, we were working towards getting off it, and they did not want to believe that it was not a benzo withdrawal seizure.
Well, I suppose, and I'm not taking sides, I suppose that some of the people that go in there do not actually tell the truth. So those questions have to be asked.
I can imagine that.
Especially with a seizure.
Yes. Because so, they want to find out the truth.
Right. So when at that point did the truth become the truth?
I don't
or
know.
Or was it ever the truth?
Not there. It didn't become the truth. There was some confusion. They had ruled out the fact that it was a benzo withdrawal seizure because he did not have any benzos in his system. And they found a bacteria in his blood, which that's what they thought it was. That's what they were telling us it was. And then they gave him a whole bunch of antibiotics. And then they did a spinal tap. And then they finally woke him up from his fentanyl-induced basically coma, which he was very upset about, considering he's been clean off opioids. He was like, "You gave me fentanyl?" Like, he was ridiculously upset about that. But we actually got a second opinion, and it was the introduction. It was the first thing I said it was. I said, 3 days ago, he started a new medication for anxiety and depression. And at first they said, that medication is an anti-seizure medication, which upon talking to another doctor, it's not actually an anti-seizure medication. It's an anticonvulsant. An introduction to any medication can cause a seizure.
So let me ask you this question, Jen, because we haven't discussed you a lot.
Sorry. Yeah.
Are you on anything?
I am on methadone as well. Okay. I'm on 25 milligrams of methadone, relatively low dose considering. I have dropped down. I've been considering a transition to Suboxone. In the beginning of my treatment, I was diagnosed with ADD, and I'm on Adderall for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was not allowed to get a prescription for Adderall until I was clean of cocaine for 6 months. That was Kodak's rules, or the rule of the doctor, the prescriber. Mm-hmm. And I am actually on anxiety medication. I tend to stress myself out. I bring my I'm one of those people that does. And so as needed, I'm on 0.5 milligrams of Ativan or something like that.
So how does that work into your college schedule? You know, you say you stress out, and you know, I do some shows on my other program pertaining to college debt and how stressful that is. So how do you I mean, you're a person who has been the low of the low.
Yeah.
And you're working your way up to the top of the
you just got to keep looking
elevator.
Up. I can't stop doing things. I have a to-do list a mile long, and I'm always working on
one thing.
Is that
a to-do list or a bucket list?
No, it's a to-do list.
Okay.
I got to, you know, help my grandmother with this. I got to, you know, and there's other people's stuff on that list.
Yeah.
I haven't changed from the person that I was. But
yeah.
School's what I do for me, and I focus on class first, I guess.
You have to. If you're going to be someone who is relinquished of what has happened to you and to become a productive citizen again, you have to do that. But I want to ask you about the Governor's Overdose Council, because when I talk about it, people get sick of me talking about it. So I wanted your perspective, someone who has gone through recovery, someone who has taken medication for recovery, who's actually married someone who has had an issue with substances. You find that a lot, but you never find that to be a match. We'll just say a match made in heaven. You never see that. It's always maybe 1 or 2 years, and then that's it. So tell me what your thinking is on the Governor's Overdose Council, because people are interested in hearing about that.
Well, I think a lot of people try to get away from it. Like I said, the stigma, it's embarrassing. Like, as soon as they get off methadone or get...
But it's not embarrassing
clean enough,
for me when I got diabetes. It's the same thing.
It is. I compare it to diabetes a lot, because especially with the medicated-assisted treatment, because mm-hmm. they say medicated-assisted treatment, you know, you're on that. Oh, that you need it, so you're addicted to it. And my rebuttal to that is, our... diabetics addicted to insulin? No, they're dependent on it. That's what it is. You're dependent on the methadone. And
that's a good point.
I think there needs to be more push in the clinics to get people to try to decrease their dose, because in the beginning, we're still looking to get high. We want to go up as high as possible. I want to get as many. I still don't feel good.
Did you have an overdose?
I myself never overdosed, but my father has overdosed in my presence probably about 6 or 7 times.
Oof.
Yeah, he was not meant to do drugs. And he's somebody who always wanted to do a little bit more, and like having to control his intake was it was a very hard thing. I've seen And another friend of mine actually got out of jail, came home, tried to do the same amount that he was doing. My dog saved his life. He was in another room. My dog came in barking, like, was trying to get him up. And we heard her, went out there, and he was blue. And we saved his life. Right. Like, we brought him back. Narcan is a very useful thing, despite the fact that... And that's a hard thing, too, because, I mean, people that are in that situation, they don't want you to Narcan them. Hmm. And my general rule of thumb is if you can't physically stop me from Narcaning
I'm
you,
doing it.
You need it. Mm-hmm. You needed it.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop me.
So what about the governor's overdose council?
I like going...
What's your thought?
The information. I like a lot of the topics are right on point. It's hard for me, really, to gain a perspective of the progress. Because I'm kind of sitting on the outside a lot. I like to be able to give my input, and I think that's important why I'm there, because I have a different perspective than a lot of people. They look at it from a medical point of view and or from a therapy point of view. There's a lot of different people there, but I'm one of the very few people that can say I actually have physical experience with this, and this,
you've been in the trenches.
This is how the addict thinks. You know, and like, honestly, this is how the, like I said, with the methadone, like, they're like, oh, you know, they're still experiencing withdrawal symptoms. Like, no, they're not. They're trying to get as many milligrams up there as possible. I guess I can be the truth. The unfair, the unedited truth.
The experience. You speak from experience. You know, and I've had Jonathan on my show. Jonathan Goya, who's coming on in a few months again. And I was watching the ABC6 special that they had last week. And, you know, my wife, she understands what I do, but, you know, it's hard to explain. So I said, you need to watch this. And when Jonathan ever said he was overdosed 38 times, I was like, wow. And I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And I'm... you know, on the same wavelength as he is, because he's in recovery and we're all trying to do the same thing for people who have issues with substance abuse. But it's, it really made my wife's eyes open up. And watching that whole hour of discussions about people with substance abuse.
There's a couple good books that are, like, really easy reads that help. I actually gave one to my grandmother to help her with my father, to help kind of understand, because it's like she only knows what he's saying and telling her. So it's like it kind of helps to have a better understanding of the situation.
So if you had a message to the people that are out there listening to this program today, what would you tell them?
That recovery is possible, that I personally don't believe that it's something that you're stuck with for life, and that you can get past it and move on to be a functioning member of society again.
I want to talk about, when we come back from break, I want you to explain to my listeners what they should look out for if they have a child who was like you a number of years ago, where you were hooked.
Okay.
You know, when you have a father who is hooked, a mother who has a little bit of an issue with alcohol, do you have any siblings?
No, not really.
Only child?
Yeah. I have a stepbrother and stepsister, but we're not really close. So.
All right. We're going to talk about that when you come back.
Okay.
I want a message from you to the parents and the grandparents. You'll listen to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Sean Tassoni. We'll be right back.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Outsmart the flu. The Exergen Temporal Scanner is the number one thermometer preferred by pediatricians. Smart technology backed by over 70 clinical studies. Protect your family. Exergen.com.
Do drugs or alcohol control your life? If you're struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is available, and there is hope for recovery. Neighborhood Health Plan of Rhode Island covers many treatment options for members who qualify. Call today to learn more. Neighborhood makes health care easy and offers the lowest priced health plans for Rhode Islanders. Call today at 1-800-459-6019 or visit Neighborhood online at nhpri.org.
AM 790 is the home of Recovery Radio, hosted by Rhode Island Council on Gambling Advocacy Award winner John Tassoni. Recovery Radio focuses on useful information for those suffering from alcohol, drugs, and other addiction. What services and organizations are making a difference, and which are right for your needs. Every Monday at 3 p.m., presented by 1-800-DRUG-HELP, Phoenix House, a national leader in the treatment of substance abuse, co-occurring disorders, and recovery. On your station for talk and business, AM 790.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DynoVite.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DynoVite.com.
Addiction Recovery Institute has been treating opioid use disorder for 25 years. In the outside world, people can take advantage of other people. But at Addiction Recovery Institute, people take care of other people. And they do it with dignity, respect, and the utmost in confidentiality. Your recovery can begin today at Addiction Recovery Institute's clinics in Pawtucket or at their Warwick location. That's Addiction Recovery Institute. Please see our website at methadone.com for more information.
Gets it to Akoli. Oak, two on the shot clock. He's going to have to fire it inside. McCoy hits the three!
This is Mike Martin, Brown Bears men's basketball coach in the class of 2004. I would like to invite you all to the Pizzatola Center this season to see our exciting young team compete against our Ivy League rivals. Join us as we take on Penn Friday, March 3rd at 6 p.m.
Hunsaker, shot at the buzzer! Yeah! Oh, the Bears win it!
Brown versus Penn, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Warwick. Visit brownbears.com for game and ticket information.
Take your first step to the path to recovery today. Call Phoenix House at 1-800-DRUG-HELP. That's 1-800-378-4435. A national nonprofit leader in the treatment of substance use disorders and co-occurring behavioral health issues. Phoenix House provides comprehensive care for adults in Rhode Island and throughout New England, from medically monitored withdrawal services to residential and outpatient treatment for teens. We offer both comprehensive outpatient services at Phoenix House. Our highly professional staff is committed to helping you achieve a better way of life through recovery. Major insurance plans and credit cards are accepted, and a sliding fee scale is available. So give us a call at 1-800-378-4435 or go online and visit us at phoenixhouse.org. Phoenix House of New England, accredited by the CARF, the Commission on Accreditation and Rehabilitation Facilities, is a national standard of excellence. Phoenix House of New England is a proud sponsor of Recovery Radio.
AM 790 WPRV. This is Recovery Radio with John Tassoni.
Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, John Tassoni. Jennifer Bryan is in the house. And welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, hello.
And this young lady has been through the ringer and back, and now she's going to become an attorney, hopefully.
Hopefully. Working on it.
Working on it. That's all that counts, is working on it. But, Jen, we talked earlier about I need a message. I need a message. The emails that I get and the text messages I get, all from elderly parents, meaning grandparents who are now watching their grandchildren because either their sons or daughters are on a bad road. So what advice would you give them?
Well, just try to, first you got to figure out if there is a problem and if that's actually what the problem is. And you got to kind of be able to tell what high is. If you see somebody kind of, we call it nodding out or falling asleep, kind of sitting up there, they probably have a problem with either opioids or benzos. But somebody getting very nervous, anxious, paranoia, kind of jumpy, that might be a cocaine problem. in general, a separation from their good friends and like an overwhelming sense of privacy. They don't want you in their room anymore. They don't want you to go through their stuff anymore. Financial problems, always having an excuse to need a little bit of money. I got to pay a fine. You know, I got to pay my car insurance. You know, maybe pawning jewelry. And then just the physical things that you can see, like little corners of baggies, straws, rolled up dollar bills, dust on mirrors or counters, and even syringes, finding syringes in the garbage, you know. Mm. Missing spoons, because your spoons go missing. You want to encourage and them to get professional help and support, trying to get into a program, trying to encourage them to be ready. But the biggest thing is don't enable them. I say it now, and it's not something I would have said before, but, you know, you got them begging you for that. Just that $40 so they can feel good, so they can feel okay, and they promise they're going to get help tomorrow. Don't enable them with that $40. Encourage them to get help today.
Right.
There's a point between helping and enabling, and it's like, you know, if they say they need a fine paid, make sure they're paying that fine with that money. Say, you know, I'll go down and pay the fine with you, but I'm not going to give you $40 cash to go do it.
Hmm. What made your switch go on?
Drug court made my switch go on. I was, and the temptation or the not being allowed to have the medication that I knew that I needed to progress further in my education without stopping. I was able to stop the opioid usage with the methadone, but like I said, cocaine can be a little bit harder. So being told that I was not going to get prescribed Adderall because it would be dangerous to me if I was continuing to use cocaine was a big switch. Also, my introduction into drug court, where it's like, if you want this felony charge to go away, then, you know, I want a fresh slate. I want to be able to be somebody someday. And right. I don't want this felony charge to hold me back.
Right. So it was worth it.
Definitely, it was definitely worth it. And it is an experience. And if you can come out on the other side of it, it really helps you to, you know, experience is everything. You know, I can say that I've lived on that side of it, and it gives a lot of understanding and insight into a situation that you wouldn't normally expect. I've seen people living in tents just so they can continue to get high. And
yeah. Actually, Judge Flynn was here a few weeks ago, and we talked a lot about people who graduate from that, I'll say class or the program, and become productive citizens again. You know, it's almost like given a second chance.
Definitely. I am so grateful to the drug court program. I definitely would not be on the path that I'm on right now if it were not for that program. Mm-hmm. Judge Flynn is excellent. And
the staff. Let me ask you about that, because we didn't talk much about the staff. Is the staff people?
Jody Limbeck, the prosecutor, is actually, she's a very fair person. You know, she'll give you kind of the second chance. And you know, we talk about relapse being a part of recovery, and it is, right. And they do understand that. You know, it's recovery is hard. Relapse is easy. Mm. And when things start to get hard, when your husband is diagnosed with cancer, it's a very good excuse to start using again. But it's having the strength to get past that.
So would you recommend it?
Drug court?
Mm?
Oh, my God, 200%. Definitely do drug court. If you have the option to do drug court, it's definitely the way to go. They hold you responsible. You sign some things saying that basically I'll accept this charge and the punishment if I don't complete it. But if you do complete it, it's completely worth it. Goes away.
So from my listener's perspective, what did you do to end up in drug court?
It's actually a program that was offered. I failed out of diversion. Diversion is another program that they offer where it's not as supervised. They, you know, you basically say that you'll check into a recovery area, mm-hmm. and that you'll be clean for, it's either 6 months or a year. But they don't give you a lot of guidance, and there's no real What is it? Punitive. There's no punishment if you mess
right.
up, other than you get kicked out of diversion. But at that point, they'll give you drug court. There are a few conditions that you have to meet. It has to be your first felony. It has to be a drug-related felony, which they're pretty liberal about. I mean, if you were stealing and you say you were stealing because of
a habit. So you were in that program for how long?
Exactly a year. I had no dirty screens. Every time you have a dirty screen, you got to start back at zero, and you got to be clean for 12 months.
Oh.
I know somebody that was in the program for... I met up with him when I was in the program, and he had, quote-unquote, started to do better. And I passed through him, and he was still in it for another good year and a half, and he decided that he couldn't do it that way. So he took the probation.
Well, you know, I give you a lot of credit, as I said before. Someone who went down a road where... you didn't know if you could make that U-turn or not to become.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know. I feel it's a little unfair that, you know, people that have been drug addicts and that get into a position that I have now are given more credit than somebody who never was an addict in the first place.
Right.
But, you know, as my husband would say, I don't expect any credit for pulling my head out of my
rear end.
Win.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what though? It's a.
On the other hand, it's a very hard thing to do. It's hard to climb up
disease.
Out of that. It's a hard,
you know,
climbing up out of that very deep. I call it a pit of self harm, climbing out of where.
That's a good point.
How deep you've dug yourself, and depending on how deep your hole is, it's very hard coming back out. I have tax bills that are, well, on my car that are, I can't register a car right now because I got tax bills that I still can't pay, you know, so step by step.
You'll get there. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story. Obviously, this is a program where I want to help people. I want to get them back to become productive citizens again. I want to give information to parents and grandparents, signs, symptoms, where to go for treatment.
Peer recovery is another thing. I really quickly wanted to mention, if you know somebody, getting them somebody who's been in the same situation that can understand where they've been, peer recovery is an excellent
tool.
Jennifer
Bryan, I want to thank you for joining us today on Recovery Radio.
Thank you again for having me.
I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll see you next week.
Dominion Diagnostics is a proud sponsor of Recovery Radio and is a leading Rhode Island laboratory that provides drug testing solutions across the country to improve patient care and treatment outcomes in addiction medicine. Dominion Diagnostics delivers objective clinical information and unique clinical support, education, and consultation along every step of the continuum of